Yeah. So we're gonna pick up like a little bit midway. So let's just chazer very quickly some of the key points that have just been spoken at. We mentioned the idea that how important it is for a person in life to just make sure the door. How important it is and stay on the side. That door, the noisy door. What was that? There you go. Much better. So you mentioned the idea how important it is for a person to be independent, not just to be doing what everyone else is doing, and to be your own self in the world of Avodas Hashem. Okay, and then he branched now into something more specific, where we started to speak about the idea that the people that are downright like coming to get you and telling you like. Don't be Shomer Shabbos, don't put on tefillin. So like most of us, if not all of us, probably all of us actually, like know that, like, that's like obviously a frontal attack like that we're not going to be paying attention to, and this that we would just reject and not really care all that much about. But it's the more subtle things that pose more of a threat. That's what we spoke last week about the midah of having tzvius, being tzavua, right? That's what we made the joke about being colored, where a person can look like one thing on the outside, but underneath is really something a little bit different. And that's where the danger starts to lie. So let's pick up now where we are, I think, and we'll say like this: Rak min tzavuim tzrichim hazhircha biyoter. What I have to warn you the most about is the people who have that midah of tzvius, of again looking one way but being something different inside. With innocent faces, they'll approach you, come to you, and say, "Gam anuas elokei avoseinu yireim." We also fear God. Kamocha kamoni ovdim. We serve Him just like you do. Rak gam zehu ratzon Hashem ata. But the thing is that we believe and we hold that right now in our time, this what we're about to talk about is also the Ratzon Hashem. Be'isa zos, and in these times, in this time, tzrichim lefashir mat. You have to compromise a little bit. You can't be as strong and strict and literal, fundamentalist, radical, as extremist as you might have been. You have to know how to compromise. Listen, Torah kfar lamadati. You already learned Torah already. After all, you've almost completed 13th grade. You already spent your first year in Israel. You learned the Torah and all of that. And Lamot Atam Alacho Misra, now time has come to move on. You gotta get job. You gotta get moving. You gotta get moving in life. You have to start getting on with things. So now it's time to go to learn a job, a trade, business, whatever it is. And sometimes people come and they'll use the words of Chazal when they're trying to give you a push out of yeshiva also. And they'll tell you, Gama Mishnah Omeres, Tov Torah im Derech Eretz. Doesn't the Mishnah say, Tov Torah im Derech Eretz? Torah with Derech Eretz, with working out in the world, that's a positive thing. It does say that in Chazal. Now obviously a person, as we're, before we get too caught up in this, a person has to understand like what the Chazal mean, how to apply that things we definitely have spoken about over the past couple of months. It's not wrong that there's a Chazal, and it's not wrong that a person should have the feeling that he's going to have to prepare himself to be able to gain a parnasa. Those adarab are the right things to be thinking about. There's always just the question of timing and implementation. How do I do that? When do I do that? And under what circumstances, etc. And ba'af bin yani avodi yiftucho b'lefashir v'yomer. Even in yanim of Avodas Hashem, in the realm of Torah mitzvahs itself, people come to seduce you, to influence you, to compromise, to give in, and they'll tell you things like this: Ha'itim nishtanu, times have changed. Ube'esa zos, in these times, ain't tzrichim nizar u'ladaktik b'chol mitzvah u'minhage Yisrael. We don't have to be so careful about every last mitzvah, every last minhag that's there. U'barachakam min ha'averos kokach. We don't have to be so careful about all the things to keep us away from Averos the way that they used to have to do it back then, Uchadoma, or similar kinds of things. Today it's okay to be a little bit more with it, a little bit more worldly. Some people might use the term a little bit more modern, etc. Blend in, fit in, and that's the way you should be. Ve'ata, now you, lo tariv lo tiskote imem. Don't fight and don't squabble with them. Don't get into a discussion. But in your heart, you should respond to what they say and think the following things. In other words, sometimes a person has to know there's an important lesson in life when not to get involved in a discussion, when there's not really a discussion going on, right? When someone just comes with an agenda, with an idea that they're trying to push you, and to sit in and try to rationalize and talk things through. They're not going to listen. You don't want to listen. So sometimes you just do the old classic head shaking, yeah, good point, right? Yeah, very interesting. I hear, right? All these classic expressions basically mean go jump in a lake, and I'm not really listening to you anyway, and I'd rather be sleeping right now than listening to you. And so say one of those kinds of things. But inside, you should be thinking and saying like this: Im kedivreichem keinu sha'itim nishtanu. If it's true, like you said, the times have changed, different today. Maybe it's true, but rak l'ra hishnishtanu. If they change for a lot worse. Things have gotten much, much worse today than they were in the past. Meilifnim, back in the day, in the days of yore, whatever that means, gam hasocher, gam haba malacha, avras Hashem. The businessmen, the merchant, there were people who were real over the Hashem. There were big tzaddikim who were involved with those things. There was a Rashi who had a winery, and the Riffin Bar Tanura, and all the other wines that are famous today, like that, and the name wines after Rishonim. So there were people who were out there who had, and again, not just the likes of Rashi and some of the others, but regular people who were very clearly tzaddikim, were very, very clearly big over the Hashem, who learned and who knew things and did whatever it was on the side. Ve'ata rubam kekulam v'bnei ha'noar, but nowadays, almost all of the youth, the teenagers, kashirak yotzu yetzim in a yeshiva, this chor v'labur malacha, most kids today, when they leave yeshiva, again, we're going to explain everything in context of like what we call today also. This is his today, which was before World War II. Most kids are picking up and leaving yeshiva kim'at, almost as soon as they leave, elash ol tacht is yerda, they're just going straight down. In other words, there was a time, which was not that long ago, where options were in fact very, very extreme and different for people. Either the person was going to be in a certain environment, in a yeshiva, etc., or he was just like basically abandoned and totally on his own. And I think we all know a little bit, or for not, but to explain very, very quickly in history, that stage in time before World War II, between World War I and World War II, were very, very difficult times for Torah Jewry in Europe. A lot of the, on the one hand, there were major, major yeshivos and then big, big Gedolei Yisrael that existed. Many of the famous names, Shimon Shkop and Rabbi Chanan Vassam and Rabbi Chaim, all these people that, Rabbi Chaim Moser, great, great names of Gedolim who were still sitting and learning from their Divrei Torah at Adi Yom HaZeh. Mamish, like the world class Rosh Yeshiva, that there might not ever be a group like that again. And on the other hand, for the masses of people, for most kids that were out there, what didn't really have that experience of being with those Rosh Yeshiva and or being those environments. And when people like left that, left that segment of society, so many, 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 many kids were really plain, simply just really going straight off the derech, and like in a very major, like express bus, kind of a way. There were many, many influences that were out there, different organizations and different movements that were like straight out on purpose and are struggling and trying to pull people away from Judaism. It was like the opposite of like Kirov, or like the Rikuk movement, and they had people who excelled, in doing that. In a real sense, that's what he's pointing out. That like a person says to himself, I see what happened to my friends when they went to that meeting and got involved with that group and decided to do whatever it was. So people were just totally falling off the derech in a major big way. There was one of the great tzaddikim in Poland, the Chortkov Rebbe, Zechutzadik Levracha, who was a grandson of Yisrael Rishner, another one of the big tzaddikim. So he had a whole system that was worked out. He had been pushing in the Agudas Yisrael movement for a bit, before World War II, to have a whole system of yeshivas with trade schools and other things to be able to compensate for that, for that phenomena, that it shouldn't be that if a kid, is going to go get a job that they have to get totally lost. So they thought of this a great name, like Landers, YU, and they said, we're going to start these things here in Poland. We're going to have these, these little, what was that?
Skoki,
and whatever it is, right, there you go. And all these different programs, and, to try to start. And unfortunately, World War II broke out, and those things never came into existence. The whole world got thrown topsy-turvy. But there was, already starting to become a push to be able to accommodate new economic realities with the idea that people really needed a better environment to be in. So you say to the person that comes over to you, and they're pushing you out, again, putting yourself in the boots and kapala of a of a pre-World War II Polish Jew and say, like, listen, things have gotten worse and I don't want to go with them. Do you want to come and murder me also? You want to burn my pure neshama with this Gehenna that my friends and other kids have gotten into? Do you want to throw my body, myself, this pure young little dove into that pit of burning, boiling feces? Do you really want to do that to me? Doesn't sound so fun. I'm not doing that. Lo esh malachem. I'm not going to listen to you. B'shem ofen lo ovelechem. I'm not going to heed what you're saying in any way, shape, or form. Ochez ani b'sefer Torah she'elokai ba nims. I'm going to hold on to the sefer Torah that my God is found in. U'b'shteiz ro'osai chovek ani ba as a kavyach. I'm going to hug Hashem Himself with that Torah. V'kol od nishmasi b'yemena lo efresh. If my nisham is still in my body, I am not parting and separating from that Torah in the slightest bit. That's a motto that a person wants to say. I'm not giving in. I'm not just listening to all the things that people are coming in and telling me and speaking to me about, trying to push me out of the world of learning. Again, we know a little bit about history. Like, do we know the time period that we're speaking about now? What are some of the isms? Some of the names of the things that were going on at that stage?
Zionism.
Right, there was a number of things that were Rammelsteinism. What was that? There were a number of things that were going on that were very, very, very strong and incredibly heavy influences that were taking place and it really, really was hard. It was very, very rough for people to withstand and do. And people really went to great, great lengths. The famous story that Baron Cutler, who had gone to the Sabbatic Yeshiva, Baron was a genius. It was an unprecedented genius. And he had a sister that was, very, very much pushing him to go to university, to learn mathematics. He apparently was good at math also. Aside from just being, a genius, he was also particularly talented in that area. Was very, very angry that he went off the derech and went to yeshiva and instead of becoming the mathematician that he could have been. And she would send them letters trying to there was no phones or whatever, but send them correspondence to try to convince him otherwise. There was a time that the Alter Sabotka just stopped giving him the letters from his sister, just like censored things, just the influences are so strong to not continue on and not stay in learning. This sister, a fascinating footnote to this story, was Nifteris not that long ago at a very ripe old age, and someone had taken the time to track down. I think they thought it was interesting to find out what happened to her, where did she go? Everyone heard the Finnish Shiva, the famous story about Baron Cutler and his sister, and someone actually took the time to figure out where she had been. She actually had moved to America and lived to a very, very ripe old age. And Baron, we also came to America and we became one of the most celebrated gedolim of the previous generation. And they asked the sister, so what do you have to say for yourself? And she said, what a waste. I mean, she wasted it. It was fascinating. Imagine the end of her life before she died. She said, what a waste. He wasted his entire life doing that. And so people were back then really, really into the we don't want you to be from kind of thing. And it's bad to be in yeshiva and bad to be learning. What was that?
She wasn't.
She was not. Yeah. That was, yeah.
And no one knew that?
What was that?
No one knew their mom called her his sister.
Everyone knew this. Everyone knew the story, but no one took the time to figure out where did she go, what happened to her. So some guy had got a bug into his head and said, "Let me sit and do the research and track her down and see who she was, where she was." And
so most people weren't in yeshivas back in that.
Most people were not in yeshivas back then, right?
What
right.
Were they doing?
Huh?
Learning math, working.
Learning math, working, being Bundists, whatever they do.
Yeah.
They're never quite clear, never really getting into it, but they were in Bundes. They were involved with the Bund.
Workers' Union.
They're speaking Yiddish at Yiddish theaters. They were doing all different kinds of stuff, all the fun things that we lose out on because we have more fun things to do. We're not going to Yiddish theater in our free time. China wanted to. Sri and Gersh should come up. What are you watching on that tab? I'm watching a Yiddish theater movie. This is a classic over here. Can't pull myself away from this. Life was rough. It really, really, really was very hard to do. Again, different places were stronger, other places were weaker. Obviously, there were It wasn't the same throughout everyone in Europe, but it was a very, very difficult time. It was a very, very hard hard period, you know, to be in. This is without the communists coming like and destroying Jews. The Soviet Union, that was mamish, like a, as we were talking about, in like the free countries, like Poland, Lithuania, Germany, those were not great. The yeshivas were not that big. There was never a yeshiva in anywhere in Europe that ever had anywhere near the amount of talmidim like big yeshivas today. Like it all, never anywhere near that. It's, you know, a lot different.
Any more than 200 at a time?
What was that? The largest, the issues that are like around 400. That was like way over the top, like large. But others were they were really very small, very, very small.
Is that why you have a fear in the Haredi community of going and getting a job, because it's stay from Europe? That means like the whole thing is
not so totally much. Again, but that I don't think it's time to talk about that per se. But I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Let me phrase it. Not exactly what's being described over here. Let's leave it like that. Okay, now, let's get back to the scheduled program. Now, what about what they say, that I have to be worried about, my parnasa when I get older? I know that's a good point, right? Don't I have to do that? Well, what would these people who are coming and making those claims to you chirp and say about the following things? Are their eyes plastered over from seeing, and are their brains just like closed up? Don't people see that both now when it's harder to make a living, or also back then, when it was a little bit easier, now let me just pause, explain the sense over here. Again, back to like history and what do you call it, and different economic things. When back in the day, right, when people lived like with their vegetable patches in the backyards, their cows making milk, their chickens like giving eggs and getting like the wool to make clothes with from the sheep, life was not easy, because if you ever try to milk a cow, it's not so easy to do, and collect eggs are not so easy. Making clothes out of wool off sheep's like really got to be like incredibly tough to be able to do. So things weren't so easy, and it's hard to work for and all that. But the bottom line is, you had your stuff. In other words, like expectations were not all that great, and people had what it was that they wanted. Again, very few people had three cars in the driveway. They very few had any cars. They weren't invented yet. But the you know, luxury was not normal, but the idea of like being okay was like people were okay, right? If you go to visit like the Amish people in Lancaster, so all those people, they're not getting money, they're not like living, but they're all okay. Like you chop some wood, you like build like a fairly big house. There's like never ending amount of land, so you can build as big of a house as you want. You do your stuff. You have your cucumbers. You have your cow, and they're really like all right. Like, and they like, you know. One of my sons asked this little boy, like, where to get one of his, like, hats. Like where to get, you know, how much would it cost if I wanted to buy one? The kid, like, stares, like, I don't know, like, if we make them. I don't know what the hat costs. Like, you just, like, make one. I don't know. And, you know, so, like, that was cool. Like, again, it's not easy to do. Like, I really want to be out barefoot, like plowing a cucumber patch. And that, like, doesn't look so interesting. But life was like, quote-unquote, easier back in the day. Along comes all of the, like, modern advancements in society, right? And we move from like cucumber patches and milk to like money and jobs and banks and all of that. And we all understand that in the world that we live in today, no one really has anything, right? Whereas we're like, we all live like a lie, right? Because like, you don't have any money, doesn't exist, right? You know, like, we know that money is like a figure on a bank, that there's no real money that you have. But if you have this amount of numbers on your computer screen and you can press numbers on that computer screen, someone has some things you paid them, something that's fictitious, but everyone's like okay with that, because like that's just the way like the whole world works. So people like, but today you have to, what do you call it? You know, it's much, much harder to get by. Things are more challenging like that, and especially because you have what we call in Hebrew the par, the difference between people that are like the haves and like are really, really wealthy, and people that don't, is incredibly large, right? The fact that you have some people who can have become so incredibly wealthy, at least in comparison with what used to be. And then you have people who are just the same as has always been throughout, you know, throughout history. Makes the, you know, the endeavor of making a parnasa much, much more complicated for us nowadays. So it says if a person, they said, but let's stop and think. Just like now, or just like back in the day, kulam shavim. At the end of the day, like, we're all sort of in the same boat. What does that mean? You have a lot of people out there who are have jobs and professions who are starving and are not doing well. Well, the hepach, you also have the opposite. Many people who are learning seem to have like anything that they want and are doing okay. Kfar amru chazal, Chazal say that the wealth doesn't come from your profession, the poverty doesn't come from your profession. The person that Hashem wants, he'll impoverish. And the person who Hashem sees good in his eyes to take care of, he'll make that person rich. And the person can say to himself, oh, the dai libes, I still have some time. Now I'd like to fill my soul with Torah and Kiddusha. And when I get a little bit older and need, so then you're right, I'll go out and I'll try to deal with my parnasah. And Hashem, whose ways I'm going in, who Yazreni Farnasani Vahushi, and he'll take care, he'll help, he'll be my friend, he'll save me, and I'm going to be okay. Now let's remember two different things about what we just read over here. Number one, back in the day, right, the age that what he was addressing, the age that people were getting sucked out of yeshivas was not even our age. The age back then, we were talking bar mitzvah age. Right? People would like get a bar mitzvah and then they'd just be out doing like, you know, doing whatever the family stuff was, or try to go into something that can make them a little bit more money. And that's why he's saying, like, you don't really need to do that. Spend a little bit more time in yeshiva. When you become of like the age that you're supposed to start dealing with your parnasa, so get out there and do that. In other words, our situation where we're spending, you know, this year or next year learning in yeshiva, subtle, right? So that we're still at a stage where it's quote unquote okay to, you know, to be learning. And we know we're gonna take a step out afterwards and be in a positive environment, still looking to make, you know, to prepare ourselves, like we say, whenever that time quote unquote comes, that's there. These are very difficult things to be able to, I think, that were really, very important to, you know, to contemplate. Again, if a person really is being honest with himself, they actually do notice that somehow or another the world functions, and things that everyone like believes in very strongly are not necessarily really always the case. You have, again, it might be true that on a somewhat of a normal, like, not normal, is that the word, like an average, like an often average sense, right, when people make the proper hishtadlis to be pursuing their parnasa, you know, going out to school, getting whatever degree, job, and position they want, often, yeah, that is a way to, you know, to try to take care of yourself, like that. And then, of course, yes, we all know that you definitely have people who do all those things and it really just doesn't work for them and are not doing well in the slightest bit. And then you have, like you described, the other, you know, group. A lot of people who have decided to stay in learning full time are not doing that well, but you certainly have those who really are. And apparently it's not a given that just because this person spends another year or two learning that his life is over. And it's not a given that just because this guy ran to school, you know, a year earlier and went back right after his, you know, first year or whatever, that automatically that guy's like really going to make it because he started pursuing his parnasa, you know, in that, what do you call it, you know, that time earlier. I always found it ironic. You know, I know of a family who a person had been a fairly successful, you know, surgeon, and at some stage, for whatever the reason was, lost his job and was never able to put things back together. Mamish lost all of his savings also, like in really, really bad, you know, really, really bad state. And that there are people in the neighborhood who have, you know, taken on, they're like moschita money, like help, you know, this particular family, you know, every Pesach, you know, get all the Yom Tov things together and all that. And sometimes when you think about it, you had someone like who, like, you know, this is the guy who has like, you know, like a, he's like got, you know, a PhD, like an MD, whatever they call it, like a, you know, medical doctor, the surgeon at like a big prestigious job, and like you have coal families that are taking care of this person and, you know, getting them through Yom Tov, like to a certain degree that makes you stop and realize, you know what, it's not always obvious that things are going to be like that. You have to do the ishtadlis, you have to do what's right. You have to make sure that you're, you know, you're basically going in a direction that like makes sense, But to like totally hold of like we'll call the Avodah Zarah, that it all has to be like rushed and it's all obvious that if I do that, everything's going to be okay. I realize that it's okay to be involved a little bit more with Ruchnius, a little bit more in learning, and the other things will all work themselves, will all work themselves out as you're, you know, as you're getting older, and it actually becomes necessary to, you know, to do. I always enjoy telling a story. I remember one summer in there was a family in Yeshiva Lane in Ariso in Baltimore. They made like a Suda's Preda. And this particular person was leaving the culinary. So he'd been there for almost 20 years. That's like a relatively long time to be, you know, to be spending learning and going into real estate. And at this Suda, he gave a very, to me, it was like an incredibly like powerful speech. Where he had said, you know, listen, when we first got married, we made a cheshbon that I was going to try to be learning after our wedding, and if we like went through the finances, went through the books year by year, and we saw that like we would, however we had money, but like it looked like we were able to make it. So you know, spend another year learning it and like that, and he had taken whatever classes he had needed to have this, you know, this particular job, and got whatever training. Let me try to see if I can make it in learning. And year by year, said, you know, they sat down and they crunched the numbers and like, yeah, okay. So one more year, let's give it another shot. He said, now again, it might have been 20 or come out 20 years. I don't remember the exact number. So this year we sat down like to figure out what's going to be with like the coming year or something. And it like, actually didn't work out. So that's what we always knew was going to happen. There's going to be some time when like I'm going to have to move on. But that was really like an amazing like attitude. The person said, like, honestly, I'm going to sit and actually make the calculation, see if it works, and let me give myself another shot. I know I have something that I could do, when the time comes. Again, we're not necessarily going to go in that direction, even though it's very, you know, commendable. But the idea of feeling, oh my gosh, there's a rush. I got to get moving. I got to get out of yeshiva. I can't, you know, whatever it is. So that, or even if I move on to school, you know, like how could it be that I could be, you know, be learning as much? I got to like, you know, rush, you know, to rush in school. And if I have a night seder, I'm not going to be like doing as well competitively in terms of like my grades as everyone else is. And there's so many things that we have in our minds that are going to be pulling us away from a base medrash and away from learning. Certainly the time that we're spending full time in yeshiva and learning more about like strong, you know, shkafos and outlooks and like that, it really becomes important to stop and think now about like, well, what am I going to be feeling? What do I want, you know, for myself as time is going to be going on in the future? Now, this is really just an aside, because like the topic that we're learning is not like, when do I go get a job and go to school? This is an example that he was giving, but I thought it was like not a bad idea to actually speak about the example, since I think it might sound that some of the things that he said like sound a little bit like strong or radical. So we're trying to put things in a framework that, you know, that I think, you know, we could understand a little bit better. Now, Aval, but, and another important paragraph. Im chas v'shalom hayolacha minios chazakos kol kach shel yechota amod be. If God forbid you had a lot of minios, you had a lot of things inhibiting you that you couldn't stand up to, and lo yechota lishar ben Torah bilvad, you couldn't remain a ben Torah alone. In other words, you have to move out of your yeshiva time. So im chas v'shalom ne'enasta lazov as yeshiva olatzis ashuka mischar amalacha ba'odecha bachar. If you were forced to leave yeshiva, to go out into the world, the shuka mischar, to the business street, meaning like out the, what was it called, out there in the world, when you were still a bachar in yeshiva. So he pointed in the thing on the bottom, the star, whatever it is. For example, a bachar shemuchrach lefamim the franes is horov hachalashim rachman alatzan. A person has elderly parents. The parents are weak. They can't work. Sometimes a person has to take a part in supporting his family. That's legitimate. But if that happens, gam oz altis yaish chas v'shalom yos yehudi b'leiv shalom. Don't give up from being a great Jew with a leiv shalom. V'gam oz es Hashem alokecha chas v'shalom al tazov. Don't forsake and forget about a Kaddish Baruch Hu either. That certainly doesn't have to be done in as radical a fashion. Da, no, you should know. You got to realize that there are a lot of really big nisyonos that are coming up ahead. This nisayon of, do I stay in yeshiva, do I not? And again, the way things played themselves out for you, you weren't able to stay on. You had to move on to the next place. But there's a lot of things that are going to be harder than that. Chazek v'amod behem. Be strong and stand up to them. Kshor atzmecha b'shem. Attach yourself, he's going to explain what this means in a second. Attach yourself, tie yourself to Hashem. And he'll be with you in all of your things. What does that mean? Lo yavar alecha yom belo Torah. I'm going to give some very, very practical advice. So even if you're not in yeshiva anymore, number one, a person has to make sure not to have a day go by without some involvement in learning, right? Whether that's the like daily dose of Torah, like 1 page, 5 minute things, whether it's the Def Yomi things, whether it's some other learning project, a parak or 15 of Mishnayos a day, whether it's, you know, whatever the system that a person wants to use. But the idea that I strongly, chok v'lo yavar, say, I'm going to be learning every single day. Not I learn on learning group in camp days, like on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I learn when there's Kriyas the Torah on Monday and Thursday morning, you listen to parshas, fascinating, right? And I hear it a couple of times, but it's very interesting. Pekudei came more fascinating than that. So that's my learning for the week. No, lo yavar alecha yom belo Torah. Not a day should go by without being involved in learning. He spalat a love may omek libucha. When you're davening, make your davening real. Daven really from the heart. Shvoch es nafshecha lefanav b'chol ofen shetir. So pour out your soul to the Kaddish Baruch Hu in any way that you know how to do. Just talk to Kaddish Baruch Hu about your issues and your life and the things that are going on in your state as you're going. This is very, very important advice now. Im ba'ofen zesh ana rosh min lechakan, when you speak to Hashem and daven about your situation, it can be either in the way that I'm about to write for you, or im ba'ofen achra, might be another way. Whatever you want to do, bein b'dibur, bein b'hir alev tachshov, whether or not you're going to say it in words, or you're going to be thinking in your heart, but think something along the following things. This is, we have another long paragraph of a tefillah coming up over here. But again, very, very beautiful to think about, and especially to hear right now, the feelings that a person who now has had to have left yeshiva and is like moving on to like being out of an official formal Jewish environment, like what are some of the apprehensions, the fears, the concerns, and things that are on our mind. These are very, very real things. Like I can remember the day when I first started giving shiurim, so I had been learning in a kol in Farakoi, and there had been a yeshiva that, for whatever the reason was, mid-zman, or somewhere during, around now, I think, Shvat Adar, that there was a Rebbe for some reason who had left left the yeshiva, and then a shiur had opened up, like a post-high school, you know, kind of, well, post-Eretz Yisrael yeshiva for, you know, slightly older boys. And someone had approached me about taking over the shiur and taking a spot in this particular place. And so I went to speak with my Rebbe Rafael Kohn about it. And he thought, you know, whatever, it was agreed upon that I was gonna go do it. That was on a Thursday. And I was supposed to start giving a shiur on Sunday. That was like the first day that I was gonna be, you know, joining up with the Makav Makas Daf Zayin. That's what they were up to on that day. And so I remember that Friday. Not only do you learn on Fridays, other people learn on Fridays also. It's like okay to do, right? So that Friday in Seder in the call, I remember like when like the clock was ticking and I was watching like the land, having this depressing thought. I don't know if I said all these words, I probably didn't, but the thought of like thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm about to leave college. I've been doing this for years, like my whole life had been involved around learning at that stage in the game. And the thought that this wasn't even like going, I wasn't getting a job in computers, I wasn't like going out into like, you know, who knows where. This is just moving out of full time learning into a position of being a, you know, to business of being a maggot cheer. But the feeling of like sadness of like, oh my gosh, my life is like really about to change. Like this, I'm like leaving yeshiva right now for the first time really since bar mitzvah age. You know, to not be in a certain kind of environment. So, for example, a person stops and says to himself like this. We'll just try to finish this paragraph before we're done for today. Ana Hashem bochen klayos v'lei. Please, Hashem, you who know how to inspect our kidneys and hearts, you see the insides. Ata yudeya ki lo b'mered uv'mal chas v'shom v'zavti es tamat terasech av yatzasi lasa v'yudivri olam. You know that I wasn't rebelling or trying to sin against you when I left the world of learning to go out into the greater world. And it wasn't with wantonness. That means I wasn't like being like bad when I left the world of MS to go out into the world of falsehood. You know all the problems that I've had, and all the difficulties that found me, until I got broken, my koach got broken, and my ruach got squashed, and I was forced to go out and try to look to make a living, otherwise it just wasn't going to work. Aval Hashem, please. Gam at the chas v'shalom eineni is ozev osa. A person thinks to himself, even now that I'm leaving yeshiva, I'm not leaving you. Lo es torascha I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving your Torah. I'm still trying to daven well. I'm even learning more than I might even really be able to. I'm really trying. Everything that I'm thinking about has to do with you and becoming a better person, closer to you, and so on and so forth. But honor Hashem, please Hashem. Libi yifched v'nafshi tispalis. My lave is scared, and my nefesh, my soul, is all trembling, is shaken up, whatever it is, trembling, tispalis. Kiv saraka and ani. I'm just like a soft little lamb. Okay? V'derech rochog v'ayom lefan. I have a really long and scary path in front of me. Nichnas ani ba'olam hazeh shamali mastinim v'sotinim. I'm going into a world that's filled with people who hate me and are going to be enemies to me. Chayos torfos, they're mamish like animals of prey. V'zeidim oravim legufim v'nishmasi, and they're robbers that are laying in ambush for my guf and my neshama. Avim ani kibsa kiseh nidche. But if I'm looked at as a lost sheep, halarowi yisrael ato. You are the shepherd. V'zeh kol tikvasi. I'm really hoping for this. Noi kekatzon osano kevodcha. Treat me, lead me like your flock, lead me like one of your sheep. V'zeh kol chizki, and that gives me a lot of strength. Darko sheroa kasher tisa se'achas minatzon b'yar, the derech of a shepherd. If one sheep gets lost out in the forest, v'pogaba es ha'ariva hadov la'atrifa, and a lion or a bear bumps in and wants now bumps into the sheep and wants to come and pounce on it. V'tifchad, and the sheep gets all scared. V'becholnav shetitzak, and the sheep just screams out some loud version of a baa. So yakshi v'roa, the shepherd will hear that. Yemu rachamav, his mercy is going to be inspired inside of himself, churned inspired inside of himself. Yachish latzila kol od ruach chayim bi'apa. He's going to run to try to save. Rush to try to save that sheep as long as it's still alive. The shepherd cares. Gam kain ani mekabel alai, and I am mekabel upon myself. Shebachol darki harachok v'hamesubach, and my long and confusing journey throughout the world that I'm going into. Eilecha etzak. I'm always going to try to scream out to you when I have a problem. Ona Hashem atzelos yet. Please Hashem, save me. V'yata tishma min Hashemayim v'tochish la'ochizeni b'tzitzios roshi v'meisari levavi. I know that you're going to hear from Hashemayim. You're going to rush to grab me by the hairs of my head or from the strings of my heart. La'tzileni u'hadricheni elecha Hashem. And you're going to come and save me and guide you back to you. And help me out. And that's again a beautiful sentiment that's there of what a person should realize that yes, you know, there's a lot of crazy things that are going to go on, but we have the ability to stop and utilize the koach of tefillah in a very real kind of way at any difficult, at any point that we have in life that things are not going as well as we want, and not to forget that tool that we have of what tefillah is all about. Now, what we're going to do next time. But not today. He's gonna have just to get ourselves already thinking for what he called for the idea. He's still gonna be giving now a description and a little prescription for the guy who has left full time learning, but how to stay connected to some degree. And a very, very important ideas. Even though we probably are gonna be continuing on, not just here next year, but in whatever yeshiva and college, other programs that we're going to be doing, and. Even so, the principles and yesodas that he's going to set down are very relevant for us in the situations that we're going to be in over the next coming years as well. So we got a lot of good stuff, Be'ezer Hashem, coming up soon. Okay, that is all for today. Mark, that we finished on time.